Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the 19th of November, 2020. A little chilly here in Maine this morning. I'd say it's around 10 degrees or something like that, around 9 in the morning here. I don't know what it is in Pennsylvania. We'll find out. We talked to Lauren Spiegelmeyer today, who's the founder of the Behavior Hub, and she's a professor at University of Pennsylvania, too. She's going to talk to us about brain-based emotional regulation, and she works with parents and teachers to have them understand and better control students' emotions, etc., plus their own. I'll let Lauren explain it all. Okay, plus their own using her methods, and it's going to be really an interesting show. And she runs the Behavior Hub. All right, and we'll talk all about that as we go on. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's, of course, our equity website, the home website of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. We're going to have our new issue of Equity and Access up there either today or tomorrow. I know Maya, my partner in this, is working very hard to get it done today. It should be up there. It's our online journal. It's excellent. You can still catch the you can always catch the back-to-school issue that's up there now. All right? We publish every other month, but that'll go into the archive section as soon as the new issue is up. It really is a good issue. I hope you check it out. Please join our consortium. It's free to all educators over at ace-ed.org, and of course our podcasts are over there, as well as a ton of other information. Working hard with industry, the education industry, to promote equity, and hopefully we're doing that. We're going to have a great year next year. We're looking forward to it. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio and also at Access 2, the number 2, Access 2 Equity ED, Access the number 2, Access 2 Equity ED. On LinkedIn, it's my name, Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook, it's my name again, Larry Jacobs, or you can go to Education Talk Radio. All right, those are the three social medias here. Now let me click on here and bring on Lauren, who I think might be in Lancaster, PA. Let's find out. Lauren, where are you today? It's Larry here.
I am actually often between Lancaster and Baltimore, but today I am in Baltimore.
Okay. You live in Baltimore?
I do. A lot of my work is in Pennsylvania, and that's where I came from, but I am currently planted in Baltimore.
Okay, good enough. Where are you from in Pennsylvania?
I am about an hour north of Harrisburg, the capital.
Oh, near State College, kind of way to State College, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
I know it well. I'm a Philadelphian, and I got my and I did a lot of graduate work up at Penn State, so I know it's where I met my wife. So I know it well over there. It's a pleasure to have you here today, Lauren Spiegelmeyer. Is it Dr. Spiegelmeyer?
No, just professor.
If you want, you can apply to the University of Larry, and I will give you a doctorate. It's up to you. Okay, no
I'm
problem.
In for it.
There you go. Hello, Dr. Spiegelmeyer, and welcome to today's show. Okay? All right. You're founder of the Behavior Hub. Okay? Why don't you tell us about that? Well, actually, tell us about yourself. You are a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Tell us about that, and then go into the Behavior Hub.
Yeah, of course. So, University of Pennsylvania called me about, we're coming up on 2 years ago, and had, been exposed to my work through, conference speaking, and said, we know that you know about the brain and brain biology and behavior and emotions and trauma, and we want to develop a trauma-invested certificate program. Will you help us to develop it and then teach it? So three courses, brain course, social, emotional literacy / trauma and stress course, and then there's a mindfulness course.
Oh, nice. Good. Excellent. And I must ask, what are you? And I don't mean that sarcastically at all, but are you a neuroscientist? Are you a psychologist? Are you what are you? Or an educator? Master's in education,
yeah.
Whatever you might be. I'm just curious.
I do have a master's in education with a focus on stress, trauma, behavior.
Okay, cool. Did you ever teach in schools with a master's in education?
Yeah, I did. I taught in public ed for about 10 years.
Good for you. Where'd you teach?
So I was all over the place. I taught back at home for a couple of years. I taught near Bucknell University and taught in Lancaster.
Yeah, yep. Cool. Okay, yep. That's where I got. I knew there was a Lancaster connection somewhere along the line. Okay, and you mentioned up by in Lewisburg, right? a buy book now?
Yep.
There you go. See, I know my Pennsylvania. See?
You do know your Pennsylvania well.
Yeah, well, I grew up there. I live in Maine now, but I know it pretty well over there. Okay? Great place to grow up. So now tell us about the Behavior Hub. What is that?
Yeah, so the Behavior Hub stemmed out of public education, working in public ed. My first year of teaching was challenging, to say the least. I had quite a few children with emotional disturbance diagnoses, and so just a lot of things that, for me, I knew were coming. People had forewarned me, but I'm like, but why do children act this way? And everyone was just kind of, you know, brushing them off to the side, or a lost cause, or we don't know what to do with them. And I'm like, yeah, but why? Why do they act like this? So that was kind of like, that ignited the fire. I'm like, I'm going to do some studying, some research. I'm going to get to know these kids. I'm going to figure this out. So that was first year of teaching. And then years down the road, more exposure to that. And then it was working for the state in early intervention and watching child after child after child get dismissed from daycare programs, and then families having to find new jobs because they were losing their jobs, because they had to leave to pick up kids from daycare. And I'm like, this is crazy to me that we can't handle 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. So that led to the development of the Behavior Hub. I'm like, we need something to help both parents and educators understand behavior more clearly, why it happens, and know exactly what to do, and something that can be implemented kind of just in your daily life and routine without a lot of extra work.
Cool. That's excellent. I get your point. If people understand behaviors, we're A, easier to cope with them because it's not a bewilderment per se, okay? And if we know what they are, we can confront it and come up with things that can change those behaviors, okay? And it's really cool. And I know you work. I think you do. I've been on your website, which, by the way, is thebehaviorhub.com. Thebehaviorhub.com. It's a good website. People should go over there. Okay. You have a coaching program that, and if I'm reading this correctly, it's for both parents and or educators. Am I correct?
You are correct. Yes. Probably my favorite component of the business is just being able to meet with people one-on-one or in small groups and kind of just listen and let them bring the problems to me regarding behavior, and then kind of on the spot, hot seat, intuitive coaching. And it's been so effective. I use a loose framework that I designed for the organization. It's what we do conferences on and professional development on, and a lot of the courses that I've developed for the organization are on this framework. And the coaching is kind of based out of that, but it's just such an awesome way to meet people where they're at and give them applicable things to do immediately that day.
What are the challenges that people are facing, be it with themselves or with a student or their child, okay, that's causing them to get in touch with you? What are they seeing? What's going on? What's the common stuff?
Great question.
Thank you.
It depends a little bit on age group. So if we're talking like younger children, it's often those like tantrums and the defiance and the no's, the refusals, so a lot of that kind of stuff. With a lot of kids right now in like that mid-range, like 9 to 11 that I'm getting, even like 9 to 14, that a lot of like stress and anxiety. So right now it's working through a lot of that. And then with teens, it's just
relationships
with their families.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the normal things that come with teens. And with teachers, just again, like the lack of motivation or demotivation to get work done and to do it and to participate. So working on those things as well.
And you said, and I because we're in the middle of a pandemic, I assume you're doing all these remotely, working with Zoom with kids and teachers and parents, et cetera.
Yep,
or
exactly.
Yeah, because you said how nice it is to meet people in a group, and I just wanted to clear that up. You can do all this right now. Again, it's November of 2020. Okay, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, to you, Lauren, and everybody else coming up next week. Okay, and so you're Zooming, Google Meeting, whatever it might be with everybody right now, but it's remote. And I have to ask, the way you just said something, are you working with kids or are you working with parents and teachers or maybe all three?
Yeah, all three if I can.
Oh, cool.
It's easier for me to relay information to children versus it coming from parents, because they're less likely to listen to parents and sometimes educators too. But it definitely has to be, if I'm working with a child, I definitely want to work with an adult as well, because I want to teach the adult the things I'm teaching the child so they can work on them when I'm not working with either party. But Sometimes it's just parents, sometimes it's just educators, sometimes it's both, sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's not. It's really dependent on what the needs of the person or the group is.
And when you're working with educators, are you finding them, or are they finding you through the school district or their school, or are they finding you in a more private manner, that they're literally going nuts because of all the craziness out there right now? What's going on
exactly
with that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So it might be me having a connection to a school and the school sending groups of educators. So we'll do like an online cohort or just a single person.
Oh.
Or it could be just someone that comes across our work either through like a conference or on social media. But it really depends how they find me. And then we talk about what is the best avenue for support.
Right. And so basically, this is interesting to me. So basically, you're a counselor. All right, you really are, okay, helping people, if I may, and I'll let you respond to that in a second, but you're a counselor, and schools and school districts are using you because these teachers, either as a group or individually, have their own needs, okay, and or they have needs with children that they can't control, and they're using you to counsel them, am I correct, to advise them?
100%, and I use a lot of components that come out of like CBT, CPT, the newer ACT therapy. But so it is essentially counseling and support for adults and for children, but comes from a very educational standpoint. So I know with a lot of counselors not quite sure, aware of, or know of what it's like to be in the educational field. So bringing that background with me.
Good point. That is a great – thank you. That's a great point. You've been there, done that, so you can really help people and see it from two points of view now. I really love that. And the other thing I just want to get into before we get into what brain-based means, okay, I want to talk about on your website it says accountability coaching. I do like this. That is a cute line. PD, professional development that won't put you to sleep. Thank you for that. that's great. Everybody moans and groans about PD all the time. Okay, so that's good. But when you do professional development, I assume you're doing that for a school, a grade level of educators, or a whole district. What is your PD like? What are you offering them to professional educators?
Absolutely. So it's a range of topics, and the topics, again, are also the courses that we have. So I do a lot on how to design spaces, whether it be a home, a working space, or a classroom, with the brain in mind, so how to set things up so that your stress response remains at bay. We do a course on communication, how to communicate to disarm, so ways of using your body language and even the words you use to bring the stress response down. And I have a course on stress and trauma in the brain. It teaches everyone about how stress works in the brain, what it looks like, how to respond. And then there's a course that follows that one up where it teaches people how to then respond to all of those stressors. And the most recent released course was actually an adult self-care stress management course, which was planned to go out in December right before the holiday.
Yeah.
So I thought, ooh, we need this now.
We need it now. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
The teacher self-help and teacher stress is we need it now. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really something. So I was going to write into question, but you just kind of answered it. I'm assuming stress levels are up these days. What are you hearing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, even people that I've talked to in the past where we would have like conversations about our lives in between the things that we would talk about for coaching or for school is now just like, give me the information, I need to get back to work. And it's just like not even time to have a conversation about how people are feeling or what's going on in their life.
They do have time. It's just hard to get used to this new normal. They do have time, and it's brutal to do this, and they have to find the time to do that. I really do believe that, okay? If somebody's putting pressure on teachers or parents or whatever, that's make-believe. They feel it, but they got to control it, and that's what you do. And by the way, I do have to say this. You do have online courses, and again, I'm on your website, thebehaviorhub.com, and I have to tell you about this cute one because you called it the Golden Ticket. Okay, I got a golden ticket. Yeah, right. Talk about that. Your golden ticket. And everybody go buy a candy bar, see what happens. But go ahead.
Yeah, I realized through speaking and through coaching and professional development that as one person, I can't be everywhere at once. I can't meet everyone's needs at once. And I also have somewhat of a limited emotional capacity, too. So I'm like, okay, well, how can I get this information to people? how can I get it to people without always being present? And designing courses for University of Penn and just have it like a love for technology, but design courses so that people can take them whenever they want, and was really intentional. And this is how I speak as well. It's like everything that I create is with a deep intention for people to apply. Like I don't want anyone to waste time listening and learning if it's not going to be applied. So the courses are developed, and right. So are the professional development sessions, to be really heavily reflective and interactive, and lots of like breaks and brain threads throughout those courses that teach people like you only have so much time, a chunk of time that you can really attend for. So we're gonna present information in those chunks of time, and then you'll get breaks, and we'll tell you what to do for the breaks, and then you'll do a reflection, and then you'll do an activity, and just making it so that when people leave the course or the professional development, they have had experience already in visualizing and applying these concepts, so it feels like they already know them.
That's cool. It's great. I'll just read this from your website. These courses will teach you everything you need to know about behavior, the brain, neutralizing yourself. I'll tell you a funny story about that. Neutralizing yourself and getting kids to listen the first time asked. I still can't do that. My kids are almost 40. Okay, so we'll just move on from there. Okay, so that's besides the point. I'll tell you a funny story just on the brain. One of my oldest friend, literally my oldest and best friend, is Stuart Feierstein, who's a world-famous neuroscientist at Columbia. All right, he's world renowned, and he's the world's leading expert on the sense of smell. Okay, but he is a neuroscientist. All right, and he does a introductory course at Columbia, and they have a 1,600-page book. He said about the brain. That's the textbook for the course. He told me this, and he said you look at it and go 1,600 pages. It must tell you everything you need to know about the brain. He said it tells you absolutely nothing. He said they know maybe 1% of what you need to know about the brain, and here it's 1,600 pages. So we got a long way to go to understand everything about the brain. But I'm using that to segue back. You're basing your stuff, and this is great, on what we do know about brain-based emotional regulation. Okay, what do people need to know in light of that crazy story? Well, look up Stuart Feierstein. You'll get a kick out of him. He's just a great guy. Okay, at Columbia. He's a professor at Columbia. But what do we need to know about the brain? And this, to me, is extremely important because I was a teacher. I went to Westchester. You know Westchester State, okay?
Yeah, I did.
And I went to Westchester. Okay, they I don't think anybody there even had a brain, let alone know anything about the brain, okay, when I was there 10 million years ago,
right.
Okay? And things have changed, all right? But we are lacking something in education, and that is really understanding the neuroscience, if I may, of behavior mm-hmm. and learning, okay? That's not really that well taught for teachers,
no.
And we got to understand that, yet we do not. All right, in my opinion,
right.
At any rate, okay?
Right.
So my question is, you deal with this all the time. I just, you know, I think we have to be cursory, obviously, but what do we need to know? What do we need to think about in understanding the brain to understand the kids we're teaching and the people we work with? There's a good question.
I think,
if you answer that in the next 3 minutes,
yeah.
You get another PhD. You'll get a second PhD from the University of Larry. So go ahead. This is your thesis. Please defend it. Yeah.
I've got it. This one I'm prepared for.
There you go. No
a,
problem.
There's a,
key,
a quote
key,
by
key.
Jim Quick, and
yeah.
He says, we are biological, not logical, or biological
yeah.
first, logical second. And I'm like, that's so true. If there's one thing I can get any adult that works with children or has children understand is that biology first, so safety first. If you don't take care of the safety concerns first, the brain is not available for those higher order. Think of this other that students have to Maslow before they can bloom. I'm sure many people have heard that before, but Maslow's hierarchy has to come first. Those needs have to be met before some of those higher order bloom skills can be taught and learned.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Keep going.
That's incredibly important.
It is.
So that's it. Biology first. So with educators, like, okay, well, if a child is emotionally elevated in some sense, trying to be rational and reason with them is not going to work. Their emotional brain is hijacking their thinking brain, and there is no reasoning there. So you first have to figure out a way to neutralize them, or to help them neutralize, or to kind of, what you may say, co-regulate and show them by you physically doing what you want them to do. And then our mirror neurons in our brain, people will start to mirror, mimic what they see. So if you slow down and you bring your energy down, it will bring their energy down. And then hopefully their logic and their reason, their thinking brain will come back online, and then you can have a reasonable conversation or redirect them. But until we get them to back to neutral or equilibrium or close to it even, there's just no point in trying to educate, trying to redirect, trying to talk or reason. It's just not how the brain works.
You know, and Lauren, I'd love you to talk about this. It's a gap in teacher education. I mean, do you agree with me on that? Okay,
100%.
And
even
thank you. And why? I mean, you and I, you're a smart lady, much smarter than I am. Okay, but why is there still a gap in this when we know it? We obviously, even I know. Let's put it this way: even I know it.
Yeah. A couple things, I think. One, we don't teach people, educators, about this in the educator programs. I never had courses on brain biology or how to infuse what we know about human biology into my teaching, which is mind-blowing to me, because that's how we function. That's how we're still here.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, you said it before. You went into teaching as a young lady. You still are one, but as a younger lady, mm-hmm. okay? And you went into teaching, and it was tough because the kids are kids. And we knew the subject, we knew the curriculum, so to speak, okay, and we knew a little bit about educational psychology, but it never it didn't take what we knew about neuroscience, okay, and make that part of what we're doing. And you know, I hate to say this, it's like a doctor going in, and you don't forget to teach the doctor about heart. He never takes a course in heart. Okay, it wouldn't make sense if you said it that way.
Right.
Okay, and it's the same thing with teachers right now. When you talk to teachers in your professional coursework, et cetera, what's the first kind of thing they ask you? What's the thing they're moaning and groaning about?
I would say really just like the defiance of kids or the disrespect of kids is what I hear, I think, most frequently. Like, they're so disrespectful, they're so defiant, they just don't listen. And the other one, a huge one, is the lack of attention and focus. Kids can't focus, kids can't pay attention. But that's not surprising to me, where we are with technology and stimulation and overstimulation, and that makes perfect sense that kids can't attend.
You know, and your idea about defiance, I don't mean to get political here, but they see this, you know, President Trump can be a little bit defiant. I'll just say it nicely that way. Okay? I'll just go with that. All right? So, you know, and they see this. And they see it reflected on TV and all that. And let's face it, President Trump may be a bit defiant to a lot of people, but half the country voted for him. Half the country likes him, okay? Half the country wanted him to continue to be president. Let's be honest about that. Mm-hmm. So there's something the kids see that, okay? And you know, so the other side may say, oh, that's terrible, but half the country is saying, no, it isn't, all right? But I wonder if that's just embedded in our brains, and I don't know. What do you think? Now, I'm not trying to get you to analyze the president. I'm just saying, what is the effect, you know, of seeing that all the time, okay, on kids? Do you think it's getting worse these days, that defiance attitude?
Yeah, I mean, I do, and I think that has to do a little bit with our way of parenting has shifted and changed quite a bit in the last couple of decades, and that's with a lot of things, growth of technology, demands for living, stressors of life, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, if our leaders aren't leading with compassion and empathy, then, much like I said earlier, those mirror neurons, we're mirroring what we see, or we start to believe what is in front of us most frequently. You know,
exactly.
You said it to someone, like, you're most like the five people you spend the most time with. Well, if those five people are virtual and they're online and you're watching them all the time, that's what you start to emulate.
Does that mean I'm getting more like my wife every day? Is that what this means?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Or is your wife getting more like you? I don't know.
Right. I hope not. I pity her if that's the case. She would argue that. My goal is to be more like her, I would say. That would be better for humanity. Let me put it that way. Okay? It's that simple. So, all right, so where are we now with all this? What should teachers who are listening now, should they go over to the behaviorhub.com as we wind down here? Should they go over behaviorhub.com, see what you're doing, get in touch? Who do you want to talk to? What are you looking for from them? Lauren,
anyone that has a need around stress or behavior, whether it be with children they're dealing with or themselves, I'd recommend to reach out to me through the website. It'll come to me first, and we can talk through what is the best way of support. Is it this fast coaching, immediate feedback? That's the quickest way. Or do you want to take a course and get some support with the course, which also allows you to work through that at your own speed? But the biggest thing here is, like, if you aren't feeling good about something, behavior, stress, you got to do something about it, or you're going to choose to keep living the way that you are and being unsatisfied and unhappy. So make the step, reach out, connect with me or someone that can help you with what you need, and we can talk about a path forward to get some support and make some change.
And I have to ask you this. You said you'd like to meet with people in person all the time, but you were in Baltimore. So I'm assuming this, most of your business prior to all this, or most of the folks you're working with, I shouldn't say business, okay, we're in the Northeast. But incredibly, this is one of the better things that are going to come out of this damn pandemic, is that you can reach out to anybody across the whole country now. You probably could before, but it was a different thing. Do you see that? Are you working more with people everywhere? Was that the case before? Am I right?
Yeah, and that was actually before I knew the pandemic was going to hit us, or it going to even exist. I had decided to take everything online, and be able to reach.
Smart
yeah,
lady.
We started that process, back probably early last summer, in mapping out what these courses would look like and what virtual
Smart
coaching
move.
Would look like. So, yeah, I mean, I have clients in L.A. and clients in Seattle,
right.
So really like the polar opposite side of the country.
That's really
yeah,
cool. And good for you. I mean, we all know online was there and all that sort of thing, but boy, this really hit it home at March 15th when the pandemic hit. Okay, it's just unbelievable. Lauren, this was absolutely delightful. I want to ask you one important question. How do you spell your last name? It's Spiegelmeyer. Is there an E between the G and the L?
There is not. So it's Spiegelmeyer.
S-P-I-G, let me do it again, S-P-I-G-E-L or just L?
Yep, E-L.
Just L. Oh, E-L,
nope,
it is
sorry,
an E-L.
E-L.
Okay.
Yep.
E-L. Okay, yep. I had that spelled wrong, and I wanted to make sure I got it right for the future. Lauren Spiegelmeyer with an E between the G and the L. Lauren Spiegelmeyer, everybody, founder of the Behavior Hub at thebehaviorhub.com. Lauren, this was delightful. Okay, go have French fries and vinegar now that you live in Baltimore. Okay? And by the way, everybody, in case you've never tried that, that's good. It actually tastes good. Right? Right?
I could vouch. Yes. Yes, it is.
It is good. Thank you. If you've never tried, most people do French fries and ketchup. I'm telling you, vinegar is pretty damn good on French fries. Lauren's a Baltimorean. She can prove that. Okay?
I can.
Thanks, Lauren. I appreciate this.
Thank you. No,
oh, you're
pleasure.
Welcome. Oh, my pleasure, too. Have a good weekend, okay? Good week.
You
Stay
too.
Safe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Spiegelmeyer, everybody. Look it up this way, thebehaviorhub.com. All right? Pretty clever lady. I enjoyed that show. Okay? Brain-based emotional regulation. Think that's lacking from teacher education? I think so. All right. Talk to Lauren. She's got great stuff for everybody in school districts. Okay, we'll archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our new issue of Equity and Access should be up there today or tomorrow. I know Maya's working hard on it to get it up there. All right, and please follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio or Equity to Access to Access to Equity. Well, Equity to Access. Okay, let's do it again. Access to, the number two, Access to Equity, ED. That's on Twitter. Thanks for listening.